I don't know about your watch, but mine actually says it's nearly 12 o'clock. And our body clocks are probably telling us it's nearly 12 o'clock. But I hope we can be patient this morning as we look at God's Word and what it is going to say to us. This little passage is titled, Welcome to Ephesus. And it's a call to make a difference in your life. A few weeks ago, Graham was preaching, and he put up a couple of holiday snaps of the time he was in Athens, and used it to illustrate a talk of Paul in Athens at the Areopagus on Mars Hill. Well, 2 weeks ago, Pat and I were in Ephesus, and I must say, it is a fantastic ancient town to visit, and you really get a feel for walking the same streets as the Apostle Paul and his companions. And it sort of encouraged me to speak upon this passage. But the point of it is, as we move forward into the sermon, the real question that we've got today is, why do we achieve so little as Christians today? When you read passages like Acts chapter 19, and you see what Paul achieved in one city in 3 years, you have to ask yourselves, well, why do we achieve so little today? Is it perhaps, you know, are we really Christians? Because Jesus Christ said, didn't he, without me you can do nothing, but everybody who is in me and I in him bears much fruit. Is the reason we achieve so little today because we're not really Christians? Yeah? Or is it perhaps we've stopped preaching and living out the Christian life in this world? Jesus said, you know, you're a light in the world. We're like a city that's got a lamp on top of a hill. And we've got to let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Is it that we're hiding our lamp? If we are Christians, is it that we're simply hiding our lamp? And that's why we're not having the effect in Liverpool today that Paul had in Ephesus. Or is it that we're salt that's lost its savour? Jesus said, you know, you are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its flavour, how shall it be seasoned? It's good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Is that our state today? Is that why we're not effective in Liverpool today? Yes, we are Christians, but we're salt that's lost its savour. Or is it perhaps that we're held back by our sins? Is that the reason that we have so perhaps little effect on this city today? It says in Hebrews 12, doesn't it? The Apostle Paul says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let's run the race of endurance set before us with our eyes upon Jesus. Is that the problem? That we're so beset by sins that we're not actually running a race anymore. We're just struggling forward, step by stumbling step. Or is it that we want an easy life? Is it that we don't want to actually be distinctive? We don't want to confront the issues that should be close to the heart of unbelievers today? Is it that we're not speaking out? We're not teaching the truth about our Lord Jesus Christ because we want an easy life? We don't want to be picked upon. We don't want to be the subject of a riot in Liverpool like Paul was in Ephesus. Why do we achieve so little today? Well, let's have a look at this passage and ask yourself a question. Do you want to make a lasting impression in Liverpool for Christ? Do you want to reform this city's behaviour? Do you want to challenge the world's thinking? Do you want to leave a good legacy here for generations to come? Well, let's look at what Paul did when he visited Ephesus. For surely he had a tremendous effect on that thriving city. Welcome to Ephesus. 3 kilometres. That's just about a mile from Ephesus. Now let's just have a look at the region around Ephesus. If we look at the map here. On this map here, this is a map of what we would call Turkey today. But then, it wasn't known as Turkey, it was known as Asia, Asia Minor, as we say now. There's Bithynia, Pontus, Cappadocia and Galatia, those are regions there along with Asia. Peter, he wrote his letter, didn't he, to the pilgrims of the dispersion of Pontus, Bithynia, Galatia, Cappadocia and Asia. Peter wrote a letter to this region, to the Christians in this region. The book of Revelation is to those 7 cities over there on the left-hand side. Ephesus, Sardis, Laodicea, etc. The island of Patmos is actually just off, if you look at, you can see there Ephesus and Miletus, just off the coast of Ephesus there is the island of Patmos. The Apostle John, on an island right there, wrote the letter of Revelation at the direct instruction and direction of our Lord Jesus Christ to those 7 cities in that region. According to tradition, John settled in Ephesus and he wrote his gospel from Ephesus, and he possibly brought the mother of Jesus to live with him in Ephesus. If you look also on this map, you see on the right hand side there it says Syria, and just a bit above, inside modern day Turkey, is Antioch. That's the city where followers of the way were first called Christians. 1 Corinthians, which we're studying at the moment, was written from Ephesus. Just look at 1 Corinthians 16, verses 8 and 9, and you'll see that Paul is writing that letter from Ephesus. There's the area of Galatia. The letter to the Galatians was written to the people in that area. There's the city of Ephesians. Paul wrote a letter to that city, didn't he? And there's Colossae there as well, where the letter to the Colossians was written. A lot of the New Testament was written either to the inhabitants of the cities in these areas or by apostles in these cities to other parts of the world. This is where Christianity grew from being a mere Jewish sect to becoming a world religion. Turkey was a huge success for Christ and for Christianity. So let's have a look at Ephesus, the city. It was the capital of Asia Minor. It was at the commercial, intellectual and political capital. It's built upon a very fertile valley. It was a centre of trade and commerce. It was a vast centre of trade. It was an important seaport where camel caravans came from all over Asia with all the goods to be sold into the Mediterranean, dominated by Rome, where all the goods of the Mediterranean went out to Asia. It had a huge marketplace. Paul often, as we know, started his preaching in the marketplace. And this is a picture of the marketplace. It's 110 metres by 110 metres. That's huge, and it was surrounded by colonnades where all the warehouses and shops were. Because it's rich and prosperous, loads of Jews lived there for the trade, making their money. It was the world capital of the slave trade between 100 BC and 100 AD. As you walk through Ephesus, and it's a fantastic experience to walk through there, you see it was an amazing city. It had public central heating where hot and cold water were made centrally and piped to all the buildings and homes of the city. You can still see the pipes to this day. It had a good sewage system. It's got public baths and public toilets. It was a centre for the arts. It was a great centre of learning. And just 40 years, 50 years after Paul was there, the world's third largest library would be built. And of course, it was a centre of pagan religion. It was the Mecca of its day for the cult of the goddess Artemis. In our New King James it says Diana. That's what the Romans called Artemis. But the Greek inhabitants of that city called her Artemis. She was a goddess. And the temple of Artemis was acknowledged as one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. In 262 AD, there was a major earthquake, about 9.7 on the Richter scale, which destroyed a lot of the city. And the river, the Kaistung, eventually silted up completely. And the ancient town of Ephesus is now 4 miles from the sea, because before it was a port. The temple of Artemis was destroyed in 326, I think it was, AD, by the Goths. Let's just look a bit more at Ephesus. We've heard about the theatre at Ephesus. Don't know if you can see it on here. This is a vast amphitheatre cut into the hillside. How big, how many people do you think it can seat? Any guesses from the audience? Not a bad guess. The Liverpool Arena seats how many people? 11,000. It cost $160 million to build, according to the arena's website, the Echo Arena. $160 million. This is a bigger amphitheatre than the Echo Arena. Probably cost more in its day to build. What a rich city. The O2 in London seats only 20,000. That cost, as when it was built as the Millennium Dome, was it about £1 billion? The MEN Arena in Manchester seats only 21,000. But 25,000 people can sit there. It's 38 metres high. And this theatre is the one that was filled by a rioting mob, shouting down the Christians and demanding honour to be given to their goddess. This shows the wealth and the importance of the city of Ephesus. Now the temple of Artemis, as I said, it was one of the seven wonders of the world. It was built in about 300 BC. It was the largest Greek temple then in existence. It's got 127 columns around it supporting this big structure. Each of these columns is 60 feet high. And as Christ found when he visited the temple in Jerusalem, it was a hive of business activity, a sort of a Lourdes on steroids. And today, there's only one column left standing. There you go. One column left standing. And you can see the height of it. That's patterned itself on that picture there. This was a massive structure, the Temple of Artemis. Some claimed it was not only one of the seven wonders of the world, it was the greatest. And inside, there was the statue of Artemis, the Diana of the Ephesians of our New King James. And she was a goddess. They found two of the original statues in the ruins. That's one of them. And she was a goddess of chastity and fertility. And nobody's quite sure what her dress is supposed to be. Now, there was festivities held for the whole month of May every year in Ephesus to celebrate the birthday of this goddess. People came pouring in from the four corners of the known world to take part in the entertainment, the dances, all the commercial activities. And the population of the city of Ephesus rose from about 250,000 to over 1 million people during that month. This was a place of pilgrimage, especially in May, but also for the rest of the year. And it was big business. It was like having a capital of culture year each and every year. This was major business for the city. And when Christianity displaced paganism, the city, it didn't like that very much. And a lot of the attributes, apparently, of Artemis have been transferred to the person of the Virgin Mary. And one idolatry has succeeded a previous one. But this is what it's all about. Artemis. And then on the scene comes a man sent by God. Now Paul He's a local boy, you know. Paul is a Turk. What city did he come from? Tarsus, Paul of Tarsus. It's in Turkey. If we pulled the map back up, we'd see it's north of Antioch and it's east of Ephesus. So he was a Jew as well, and he was a Roman citizen. So he's uniquely and ideally qualified for the job. So there's Tarsus there. You see Sicilia, it's sort of like in the armpit bit there, Tarsus. Is uniquely qualified to evangelize Asia Minor, and particularly Ephesus. So Paul was at home in Ephesus. Perhaps he was more at home in Ephesus than he was in Jerusalem. He spoke the language. He knew the culture. He had the privileges of Roman citizens.